Christ est ressuscité. Alléluia. Il est vraiment ressuscité. Alléluia.
Canon Nost.
他复活了.
Christos Vaskres.
Él ha resucitado.
예수님이 부활하셨습니다.
He is risen indeed. Happy Easter, everyone. As you can see by now, this is not my living room. We have chosen to worship with you on Easter 2020 in our sanctuary. As you can tell, we are all practicing our social distancing from each other. We don't want to have anybody connected here. We're here to help us all celebrate a little differently on a day that we get to remember Christ's resurrection. We want to use this opportunity to look forward to better days ahead. We will worship in this space again. I promise you that, Terra Nova. We can rejoice this day. We can sing and celebrate because he has conquered the grave. Romans 15:13 tells us, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." Let's sing, Terra Nova. Oh, look at the tree. Oh, been rolled away. Alleluia. Jesus walked away from the grave. Sing that verse again. Oh, look at the tree. Oh, see where he died to save me. Oh, and Adam will die. Oh, in Christ we will all be. Alleluia. The stone has been rolled away. Alleluia. Jesus walked away from the grave. Death was your sting. Oh, how you have tasted defeat. Oh, death was your sting. Oh, how you have tasted. Alleluia. The stone has been rolled away. Alleluia. Jesus walked away from the grave. Oh, the blood shed, then the last breath, resurrection, salvation. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. And my soul knows sweet salvation. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. And my soul knows sweet salvation. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. And my soul knows sweet salvation. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. And my soul knows. Amen. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bowed and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all of and oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. At break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trample death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. And oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. In robes of white, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, and my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Yes, we praise You this day, Father, for You sent us Your Son, that He didn't stay buried in the grave, but that He rose on the third day, and He rules and reigns and will one day return for us. So, Father, we praise Your name. We lift high the name of Jesus. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Good morning, Terranova Church, on this Lord's Day, the day that we specifically celebrate that Jesus of Nazareth rose from the tomb. I'm going to be reading this morning from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how He told you while He was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered His words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles, but these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, this morning we ask that You would awaken in us our questions and Yours for us. That You would meet us, Lord, in our moments of fear, anxiety, and unbelief. That You would take from us our mourning and our sorrows, and that You would show us again our Jesus, alive and risen. That You would proclaim to us death defeated, Lord. That You would tell us again, beyond all human failure, there is divine love and hope and charity. Lord, thank You for all that You have given us. These words seem small, but God, it's what we have to be able to do, to offer You our thanks and our praise. In Christ's name, amen. To understand Easter, to walk to the joy of the resurrection, we have to first deal with the stark realities of death. And maybe this Resurrection Sunday puts us in a place where it's more on our mind than ever before. We can consider those faithful disciples who had seen Jesus teach, heal, and represent the kingdom of God in word and work for 3 years in His ministry, and then watched Him taken in a mock trial, beaten, and ultimately tortured before being crucified to death on a Roman cross. And make no mistake, it was a real death. Our Good Friday for them was without an understanding of the goodness. Only the mourning and sorrow remained. They were shuttered in on Sabbath, locked down, as it were, waiting, where they could turn their mourning into something meaningful and care for the body of their beloved rabbi. Here's the roadmap for today. First, we will talk about that death of Jesus, and then the voice of angels at the tomb, and finally, the life of Jesus. The death of Jesus was a real death. Remember, just last week we had talked about how the Pharisees began to plot his murder. In their jealousy and rage, they accomplished this act with the help of shills. They paid money to people to proclaim how much they hated Jesus and to really support the false charges that they had raised up against him. He was taken to Herod and to Pilate, and Pilate ultimately had the power of Rome to crucify Jesus. And here many of the same people who had shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David," now shouted, "Crucify him." The deck was fully stacked. Judas had been bought and paid for, supporters to shout, all leveraged Rome to do what they knew Rome would do if there was a threat to Caesar present. They would act with a final brutality. And make no mistake about it, the cross was. It was public, excruciating, and final. And when Jesus had died, the Romans made sure a soldier who perhaps had done this traumatic duty many times before took a spear and pushed it under the rib of Jesus so that he would puncture the heart sac, and the water and the blood flowed from it, and Jesus did not flinch. The life had left the body. Jesus was dead. The women would take his body and do what they could and mourn. Their work would be interrupted by the Sabbath. Then Jesus was entombed, and then the morning comes of the first day of the week. And these dutiful women, these faithful women, go to complete their task. And what they find is not what they would expect. See, from real death, agonizing death, final silence of death, we expect nothing more sometimes. And this is where God has to remind us he is greater than all of our human circumstances, than all of our suffering, than all of our failures, than all of our wants. God was already ahead of what was happening. It was his plan, not the plan of the Pharisees, not the plan of Rome. It wasn't the power of institutional religion or government. It was the power of God that moved that day from being a time of mourning and just another human preparation for the dead to the shocking reality that Jesus was alive. And the angels speak. The angels ask a question first. It's fascinating and worth looking at how many times God asks us questions, like a good Socratic teacher trying to get us to learn these answers. And what he says to them is, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" He reminds them that Jesus is the living God, the creator of all things, that he took on human flesh, that he lowered himself from his divine estate to be with us, to serve us, to give himself. He told them, "Don't you remember what he said when he was still with you in Galilee?" And the scriptures tell us that they did. They began to reflect on those things, those promises, those teachings, that maybe they didn't quite understand them. Let's give them a bit of a break. There was a lot to process in walking with Jesus for 3 years. It would have been just a daily surprise at how different life was going to be now. And the expectations probably grew silently, quietly, like a vine on the backside of a trellis. They had their own ideas of what Jesus was doing. And when those ended with his torture and death, they probably weren't thinking all that clearly in their shock and mourning. But Jesus had told them. He had told them that, like Jonah, had been given the sign of the whale, that he would be in the belly of the fish for 3 days, that he would be in the earth for 3 days and rise. He had told them that if the temple was torn down, he would rebuild it in 3 days, but he wasn't speaking of the stone structures they couldn't keep their eyes off of. He was speaking of himself. After the question, and after the reminder, comes a commission. Go and tell. The story of the fall in the Hebrew scriptures begins with Eve being deceived by God's enemy, Satan, the serpent. And she takes the forbidden fruit and tastes of it and gives it to her husband. And he too now enters into the place of sin and death and self-realization that for a moment seemed exciting and thrilling, and then forever brought unspeakable tragedy that infected the entire world. Now that's unraveling. The angels have spoken, and the women have listened. And they return to the men. And the scriptures say that Peter and the others disbelieved. So in English, we have words like un, to say the word is negative. In Greek, they have this thing called an alpha derivative, the letter alpha at the front. And pisto is the verb to believe, to have faith. All the time when they're called to faith, it's that. And it says they apistuoed, they unbelieved. See, many times the work of God, the promises of God, the very life of God can be ignored, eclipsed by us, by our unbelief. Don't let yourself be the block that eclipses the light of God that he has for you or your circumstances. It was probably easy for them, given how much had gone wrong from what they expected, to not believe. In Luke 24, there'll be a continuation where he speaks, Jesus, to the disciples on the Emmaus Road. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Their response is telling. They don't believe because they had expectations. So many times we can be hurt by what we thought God would do. He becomes for us like a divine errand boy. And if he doesn't do what we think, it can't possibly be God. He must be absent or vacant. If he doesn't stop the things we pray for him to stop in the moment that we pray for them to stop, in the way that we pray for them to stop, or bring the things we ask for in the way and in the time we ask, we begin to think, we almost believed, but then this happened. Don't let yourself or your circumstances steal away what God has in the life of Christ for you. The unmistakable piece of Easter, and I suppose it can be P-I-E-C-E as well as P-E-A-C-E piece, is that Jesus rose from the dead. I have a friend who jokes that two miracles happened on Easter, that Jesus rose from the dead and a single man folded his own bedclothes. That's what Peter had seen, that there was order to this. This was not accident. This was not theft. Jesus rose. All the pieces of the past, all the words he had said, now made sense. He died not because he had misstepped. He said plainly, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down." Jesus was the sacrificial lamb and the priest who did the sacrifice. Rome and the Pharisees, just instruments of a moment, just tools in the hands of God and his plan. The plan? It was to take away the wrath of God, the natural response of a holy God who would encounter the sinfulness of mankind. Our sins, the kind that we dismiss so easily, are actually the kind that kill God. They're the kind that he can't live with us when we have. He is perfect. We wouldn't want a God who was any other way. And in his perfect justice, sin had to be judged. And in his perfect love, he took it upon himself. That's the way of the cross. The tragedy of the cross becomes the great triumph of the empty tomb, that Jesus is alive and victorious, that our sins will not separate us from the love of God. Luke, the faithful gospel writer and physician, gave us brutal detail on how real the death was. He has no insight into what happened in that tomb, only that God again said, "Life be here in this body," and Jesus rose. But Luke, the evangelist, Luke, the believer, tells us without a doubt, Jesus did rise. The doctor who had fought his entire life to combat sickness and death had seen God win in a moment, in an instant. We live in a time where we're realizing two things that were always true with a unique and illumined clarity and precision at this time. Those two things are this. The world is out of our control. Things that are bigger than us, things that we did not want, things we did not expect, will happen in this world. I don't say this as a prophet or a son of a prophet, but you will have tragedy and triumphs that you didn't plan or expect in this life. The second truth, we're going to die. I think that's the terror that people have as they've woken up to the notion, we are going to die. The internet age demands everything instant and now, and so we forget two really important things. We came from somewhere else, from those who came before us, and ultimately from the creation of God. And we go someplace else. This world is not our final place. We likely won't be the last people ever to live on Earth. But this pandemic, the coronavirus, has made people realize we have fear over these two things. Dear friends, the cross of Christ tells us that you no longer have to fear the wrath of God or the out-of-control spiral of sin in us and others. And the grave tells us, when it's an empty grave, we no longer have to fear the truth of our own death. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. That anyone who'd believe in him would have eternal life, and that he goes to prepare a place for us. Luke the doctor was probably relieved and thrilled to think his constant battle against disease and death was over because Jesus had addressed the root cause. So you, in these days of pandemic and pandemic fear that goes along with it, you can know for sure the world is out of your control, but that doesn't mean it's out of control. God has it. Secondly, you will die to this world. There'll come a day when your breath stops, and more than likely the rest of the planet will continue. It'll be like Twain says, they'll mourn you for a day and forget you for a lifetime, but God will not forget. All those who put their trust in Jesus have the life with Christ and one another promised to them. So how do we embrace this? How do we make this real for us? The first is finding faith. That has to become your trust and your truth. I'd encourage you to take this time to be reading. Maybe the Gospel of Luke is the place for you to start. Read what Jesus said, what he did. Read what this doctor, this physician, who went and chronicled carefully many witnesses, has said when he put together this work. Understand what God has planned and given. Look for yourselves. If you have questions, I'm happy to answer. You can email me or the other pastors at Terra Nova Church. You can ask Christian friends that maybe you feel a little embarrassed to at some points, but ask them. Find real faith. Secondly, find real community. The women had it. They were going together. And they found when the Lord's body was not there and the angel spoke to them, he sent them back as emissaries to others, the disciples, the other 11. And they built the Christian community. Every church, every denomination traces back to that one reality and that community of people. We need one another. Selfishness and hoarding won't save us. Hatred and blame shifting won't save us. But Jesus said he has built a church against which the gates of hell itself cannot prevail, because he is the one who binds us as one. Find real community. And lastly, find real purpose. What does it mean if we finish Netflix and watch everything that's on there? What does it mean if we can work for self-improvement and get a little bit better before we start to decline? But finding real purpose is what the women had and what the disciples had and what Jesus gave to them all. In the Gospel of Matthew, in the Great Commission, Jesus calls the disciples together after his resurrection and says this. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, to the end of the age." Jesus calls them together as disciples. Some worship, some doubt. That's the nature of disciples. They're not perfect men and women. You probably have found that with Christians you know, maybe friends, maybe pastors, maybe family. Don't be distracted by their flaws. We're all just following Jesus. And never confuse yourself with the idea that following Jesus means you are Jesus. We're meant to follow, and it'll be imperfect. And that's okay. God has called us to a process that will end in perfection, not begin with it. And then he tells them the change that has shifted so dramatically that the world, full of all of its darkness, full of all of its brokenness, sinfulness, and greed, now is changed because he lives. He says that all authority is given to him. And I have to imagine they listened with a ready obedience. What will be the command? And the command to follow him, to teach others what he has said, to be ones who make more and better disciples of Jesus. My friends, if Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, if the story is always of his glory, then it will be the most meaningful thing you can do to make disciples. That will look different in so many ways. In the way that they do their lives, where they labor and how they labor, where they live and how they are to their neighbor, and just the community that they have. That'll look different for everybody. Except for one common thing. It'll look like men, women, and children, focused on Jesus, following after him, learning and failing at what he taught, seeking forgiveness and following again, and sharing that faithfully with others. From the tomb, with three mournful women who didn't remember, who ran to men who didn't believe, we find faith, hope, and love in the life of Jesus Christ. Thank God, he is risen.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in when death was arrested and my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. And my mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace is so free. Washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. it's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me. Darkness rejoices though heaven had lost. But Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace is so free, washes over.
Song today, Terra Nova, a song that I believe is a song that we need to sing as the church today, a song that is ministering to the hearts of the people because of the words that it says, and we can rejoice together knowing that Jesus Christ has conquered the grave, that he is risen, and that he will one day return for us. So let's rejoice together singing this new song.
Come and stand before your Maker, full of wonder, full of fear. Come behold his power and glory, yet with confidence draw near. For the one who holds the heavens and commands the stars above is the God who bends to bless us with an unrelenting love. Rejoice! Come and lift your hands and raise King, and with trembling rejoice. We are children of the promise, the beloved of the Lord, one with everlasting kindness, but with sacrificial blood, bringing reconciliation to a world that longs to know the affections of a father who will never let them go. Rejoice. Come and lift your hands and raise your voice. He is worthy of our praise. Rejoice. Sing the mercies of your King and with trembling rejoice. All our sickness, all our sorrows, Jesus carried up the hill. He has walked this path before us. He is walking with us still. Turning tragedy to triumph, turning agony to praise. There is blessing in the battle, so take heart and stand amazed. Rejoice when you cry to Him. He hears your voice. He will wipe away your tears. Rejoice in the midst of suffering. He will help you sing. Rejoice. Come and lift your hands and raise your voice. He is worthy of our praise. Rejoice. Sing the mercies of your King and with trembling rejoice.
Good morning. My name is Dennis Gardner. I serve as the operations director at Terra Troy. If you'd like to learn more, if you'd like to get updates, if you want to choose a way to give or just contact us directly, there are helpful links below in the show more description under this video panel. It's my pleasure and honor to end today's service with a benediction, and it's some comforting insight from the ascension narrative in both Luke and Acts. So the scripture says this: Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." While He blessed them, He parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Even now, as we log out of this service, be encouraged to return to your days with the eternal and the internal and the external promises of Christ, and do so with great joy. Happy Easter, Church.